Our scripture this morning is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and then continues with 16 through 25. Hear the word of God. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who was called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Here at the beginning of our New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, we begin by hearing about the genealogy from which Christ descended, the human means through which Christ was born. Of course, we will later talk more about the miraculous birth of Christ, the role of God and the Holy Spirit within that. But here in Matthew, we see the genealogy, the earthly, not descendants, but those who came before. When I originally picked out the passage today, I originally chose Matthew chapter 1, the entire chapter, and decided to be nice to Shauna this morning and the other readers, because there is a lot in that chapter, a lot of names. It is Abraham, the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and it goes on like that for 16 verses. And you have things like Jeconiah, the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel, the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel, the father of Abiad, and Abiad, the father of Elakim. I say I did that for the readers. I guess I did it for the listeners as well. That gets kind of old. And while we're not going to go through line by line chapter 1, I do want to talk about this genealogy and some of the uniqueness of this genealogy and what it means for us. As I think about this genealogy and how it talks about from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, it brings to mind the image of building blocks, almost building the foundation and building upon it and building upon it till ultimately Christ is born of Mary. And that is a good image, kind of the building blocks image. So it helps remind us that these are not just people's lives, although they are, that these lives mattered and led up to something. They started somewhere and they led up to something. You know, we could think about our own lives and our own genealogies in that way. We're more than just building blocks. And if you read the genealogy, you see the names, but you don't get the full story. Sometimes, on the other hand, though, sometimes we are in the details of our story, and we may not remember and think about how our lives and our time here on earth fits into a greater picture of our families. And then if we are followers of Christ, in a sense, we are part of this continuing story. We are, in a sense, a building block built upon the birth of Christ and the faith that has gone out throughout the world and is still spreading in this world. We are a part of that. We are a building block. When I think of building blocks, I also think about that game that some of you may have played that's made out of wooden blocks. It's called Jenga. And in that game, you have a tower of building blocks, and you are to pull pieces out of the tower and then put it back on top. And so the block gets less and less stable and is leaning until eventually it falls down. In some ways, perhaps our lives with their stories, the things that we experience and do in life, probably does not always feel like a secure building block that is fit in perfectly with everything else. Sometimes it may feel like we are leaning or hanging on, in a sense. If this genealogy in Matthew chapter 1 is like a building block going through the generations from which Christ would be born into the world, then we also know that it's not just a set of names, it is, along with being a genealogy, it contains all the stories of these people named, and even some that are unnamed. The people that were influenced and affected by the people named. So there are many, many stories represented in this genealogy and in all the names. But God worked through all those names, all those people, and through all those stories. And that reminds us that God can take our lives, and God can take even the challenging parts, the painful parts, even the mistakes, and God can use those and use our lives and do something amazing through our lives. And that is what Matthew chapter 1 represents. One of the big clues that informs how we read this genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. There are five names that stand out from all the others. And those five names are the women that are named in the genealogy. As you go through all of these names, they're almost all men. But there are five women named. Of course, one of them is Mary at the end. She's listed at the end. But there are several others. And it was not typical in this time, and it is clear that Matthew was intentionally adding the names of these women because of their stories and the role that they played. And so let us think briefly about the women named. I've mentioned Mary already. We'll continue talking about her in the weeks ahead. One of the things that we see in Mary's life, though, God calls her to be the mother of Christ, to give birth to this child. And we see that she was a young woman. She was not exceptional in any way that we know of, other than she seemed to be willing and to be faithful to what God wanted to do in her life. But the first woman who is named in here is Tamar. And to get her story, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 38. And it is a unusual story. But Matthew felt it important to include her in this genealogy and to include her story. Very briefly, Tamar was someone who, as many of the women in the early parts of the Bible were, was trying to have children, wanted a descendant to carry on the family name. Her husband had died, and so she was seeking to have children. And in the midst of that, she dressed up. She dressed up in disguise in order to have a child with her father-in-law, her husband who was deceased, his father. And from that union, a child was born. And so that is one of the stories in this genealogy of Jesus. One of the many blocks that perhaps is not a perfectly settled, perfectly shaped block, but God used what had happened. Also in this genealogy, Matthew mentions Rahab. Rahab was known, we read about her in Joshua chapter 2. She was the prostitute who aided the Jewish soldiers when they were going into the promised land to scout out the promised land. You may remember that she lowered them down in a basket, hid them, and then lowered them down out the outside wall in a basket. So she is a part of Jesus' family tree. Once again, one that you would not perhaps expect to be listed, but God used her and God used her life. And if you were to paint a picture of the genealogy of Jesus, and if you wanted it to look good, Rahab and Tamar were the kind of people that you would not mention because their stories are perhaps not in the most beautiful, they were not the neatly shaped that we might imagine. But God works in the midst of our lives. Our lives don't have to be neatly shaped and perfect. We just have to be willing, and we seek to do the best that we can. So Tamar and Rahab are two that are mentioned. Another is Ruth, known to us from the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. Ruth was a non-Jewish woman who entered into a relationship with one of her relatives after her husband had been killed. And so you can read more detail about Ruth in the book of Ruth. And the last one, those are three, and then we've got Mary as the fifth. The last one, the woman is not even named. We are told that Jesus was descended through this family tree, and that one of the people in the series of blocks that God used to accomplish His will was the wife of Uriah. We know from Scripture that the wife of Uriah was named Bathsheba, but Matthew does not name. Does not mention Bathsheba by her name. Instead, he calls her the wife of Uriah. Now, you may wonder, and it is a good question, Matthew chose these other, to list these other women by their name. But here with Bathsheba, he doesn't use her name. He calls her the wife of Uriah. I think the reason why he does that is it tells more of the story, really, by bringing to mind Uriah. You may remember Bathsheba was the one, and King David saw her. She was bathing on a roof, and he summoned her to be brought to him where he had relations with her. And he did this while her husband, Uriah, who was a general, was at battle. And so David took advantage of this woman and sinned against this woman and against God and against Uriah, her husband. And then in the process of covering up what he had done, he arranged to have Uriah killed on the front lines of battle. I think that that's why Matthew chose not to speak of Bathsheba by name. It was to fully disclose the enormity of the sin that he committed, which was not just with Bathsheba, but also what he did with the husband. So once again, in all of these names, and continuing in with Mary, we see a series of blocks that are built, that build a foundation. God worked within these blocks and these lives, even the imperfect within them, to lead to the birth of a Savior for us. And once again, I think that on this Sunday in which we talk about hope, the first Sunday of Advent, we talk about hope. I think we learn from this genealogy that there is hope in our lives, that our lives don't have to be perfect, that God can use our imperfect lives, and God can accomplish great things through our imperfect lives. And that gives us hope for our lives and for this imperfect world. I think that as we prepare for the coming of a Savior this year, for the remaining weeks of Advent, I think we should be reflecting upon our lives and the role that God has played in our lives. And to realize that our life can be a part of something bigger. There are parts of our lives that if just taken by themselves and some of the difficult and painful things that happen in this world, in this life, if we just look at those in themselves, we might become frustrated, we might become depressed even, we might become despondent as people have in life. Asking the question, what is all this good for? What is the purpose of my life? And that can be hard to see, but as we prepare and as we look through the eyes of faith, with the lenses of our eyes informed by the story of what God has done throughout the centuries and what God did in particularly through the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we look at our lives through the lens of faith, we begin to see that God has the ability to enfold us and enfold our lives into God's plan. Just as He did for all the women named and all the men named in this genealogy. And just as He has done for those who came before us, family members and brothers and sisters in Christ, the story of Christmas and Advent is not just the story of Jesus, it's also the story of us, of all who respond to the call of Jesus and respond to the gift given in Jesus. May God take the pieces of our lives, even those difficult pieces, and may God redeem them and bring good out of them. May God enfold us into His story of salvation. May the work of Christ continue in our lives. And may the good news of Christ be brought to all people. Let us pray. God, we thank You for the miraculous way in which You work in the lives of Your people. We thank You for the wonderful examples we've seen this morning where You worked in broken lives and did something amazing through those lives. God, we seek to cooperate with what you would want to do in our lives. So God, help us to turn our hearts to you this season. May we look forward to the birth of Christ with expectation and with hope. And God, may your good news of salvation be spoken into our lives and be proclaimed around the world. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.